So this morning we're going to continue with our series, and this will be the last one in this series, Lord, Teach Us to Pray, Part 5. And so I'm excited to preach. Every time I prepare something, I get more excited, and just to helpfully download a truth to us. And we started this series with the illuminating scripture of Luke chapter 11. So let's just read that for a while. Where was we? Verse 5. Now Jesus, let us go to Judea. Then after, verse 7. Then after he said this to the disciples, let us go to Judea. No, that's John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. I knew that. She said, you all just let me read. Now, scripture's always good. Thank you, Ellen. Let's try again. Luke chapter 1. I knew it was verse 1. I wondered what happened. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And when he said to them, when you pray, say this, or pray like this, or pray in such a manner, depending what translation or version you are reading. And we started, as I said, the series with this amazing piece, and over the weeks we've looked at it and we've said to ourselves, how come that they knew? And last week I said, remember that Jesus probably prayed out loud. He wasn't just quiet prayers to God. And I want to encourage you, learn, practice the discipline of praying out loud. Because otherwise they wouldn't have known what he was praying, and his passion is and his excitement and what he was praying. And they were, as we said before, they were like, wow! He's got such a connection with the Father. How's he do that? And so they came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And over the last couple of weeks, we've looked at the when, the where, the how. And today I want to look at something of the what. Because it's always helpful to do that. And let's see if this is working. Helps if I switch it on. It works when you switch it on, Mark. There we go. And so we've looked at what am I missing, and we looked at that disconnect between us and God, and how we think God is a far away, and what are we missing because of the misunderstanding of who he is. And we looked at our conduct in conflict, and then Michael preached, let us pray, and how he rolled out our 40-day thing. Don't put your hands up, or maybe you want to. How are you doing with that? Excellent. Are we being diligent? I'm telling you, the more we pray it every day, the more excited I get about those prayers. And they're not just prayers that we pray by rote. Please don't ever allow it just to get, like we've done with our Father who art in heaven, okay, good, let's go. Well, sometimes, now I don't say we should pray long prayers at grace, because the food's going to get cold. Yeah. But we should pray meaningful prayers about when we sit down to eat. And then last week we looked at cultivating a prayer lifestyle. And we have to look at it as each one of these being a facet in a diamond. And you know, if you hold a diamond up to the light and you turn it and change the angles and the facets, it sparkles in a different way. And each one of these preachers, I want us to see this as each facet of this amazing diamond called prayer. And how we pray, and why we pray, and how we do this. And then we came up with some big ideas. The first one was real prayer and communion with God is based on relationship, not on a need or a crisis. Because that's when we pray most, when we have a crisis. Lord, help me. I need you now, Lord. Would you come through for me now? The second one is prayer should be our first response, not our last resort. When we wake up in the morning, and that's the rollout of this amazing 40 days of prayer that we're doing, that we would make that the first thing. Not, oh, I forgot. Oh, no condemnation. Please don't get excited. But let's build into that. And then prayer is a lifestyle, not an emergency exit. And then for today, the purpose of prayer is not to get things. Gimme, my name is Jimmy. But to be with God. That's why we pray. That's why we communicate with the Father. That's why it's important that we speak to Him, because that's what prayer is. Well, I thought prayer was this, like, you know, you've got to be like special to pray. No. You just got to be a son of God, a daughter of God, Come and join us and be part of that and opening our hearts to Jesus and to His prayers. And so this morning what I want to teach on is Your will be done. Your will be done, Lord. In Luke 11 we said that Jesus responds to this outline prayer. And then I'm going to use the overhead. We get to Matthew chapter 6 and it starts off like this. And it's the same story told a little differently. And he says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Matthew's helping us to understand before we get to our list of give us this day, give me my daily bread, please forgive me, Lord, don't let me be led into temptation. Let's make sure what Matthew's teaching us, that we come first and align ourselves with God's will, that we stand in His will. God is not aligning Himself with our will. And that's something we have to learn, that God says, doesn't come along and we go, okay, Lord, my will is give me my daily bread, forgive me, help me, protect me, all that kind of good, healthy stuff. But Matthew teaches us, your will be done first, Lord. In your kingdom, just remember, He is the King, it's His kingdom, and we are subjects in His kingdom. And so we behave like subjects and children and heirs in His kingdom. God, now don't hear what I'm not saying. God is not moving towards us because He's already done that. He already came, incarnate, Jesus Christ. God, fully man, came to earth, lived amongst us. As I spoke last week and explained, He came and He's in your future. He's in every circumstance that you're living in. Don't worry, Dad, I got it. That's why He's interceding for us daily. That's why He's up in heaven. Don't worry, Dad, I got it. I was there. I know how Alan is going to say the next thing that's going to come out of his mouth, but it's okay, Lord, I got it. It's okay, Dad, we got Him. Alan, Holy Spirit. Remember last week? Okay, yeah. Shouldn't say that, shouldn't do that. God is saying, son and daughter, sought and done. Son and daughter, I want you to come up here with me. That's why He teaches us, because He's made it possible in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6. He says, and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where we rule and reign from. I know our feet are on terra firma. And for me, the more firm, the less terra. And so we understand that while we're on here, that we are living in a fallen world, but I am seated and I rule and I reign and my authority is in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, who is interceding for me daily. And we sing that beautiful song this morning. He's gone in and He's opened the way for us and He's touched the throne for us. Man, it gave me that picture, another woman with the issue of the blood, how she broke through on fear of death to touch the hem of His garment. And in this jostling crowd, who touched me? If I was one of those disciples, I would have said, hey, Jesus, get real. Everybody's bumping you. Who touched me? No, I felt something go, I felt power go out of me. And that's when we come and we touch the throne. We live in that power, that authority, because we are seated in heavenly places. And the reason we do this, so that we can know our identity in Christ. So that we can live in victory. You heard these things before? So that we can go beyond our four walls and touch our community and our families. It's hot in here. I'm sure I should have been born in Canada. Whew, I'm sweating. Your will be done on here, on earth, as it is in heaven. Your kingdom, your will. I'm submitted to you, God. And sometimes we've got to break that paradigm. Because sometimes we still live in our kingdom. It's all about me. And I'm this wonderful cosmic being which the whole celestial beings revolve around me. And we've got to go, no. It's about you, Lord. You're the King. I'm in your kingdom. And to help us this morning, we're going to go to an Old Testament character. Now, some guys went a little bit crazy about this prayer. Some of you know where I'm going already. And they wrote books about it, and they did teachings about it, and they We had a guy who made his kids get up every morning and pray this prayer 5 times so they could be whatever, I don't know. And I said, are you nuts, dude? Jesus taught us to pray, not Jabez. Well, we can look at Jabez. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Jabez was more honorable than his brother. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. Jabez called upon the name of Israel, God of Israel, and said, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, some translations say territory, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, here's the kicker, so that it might not bring me pain. And God granted what he asked. I think it's one of the most powerful things. We've got to understand this. This is, you know, in the book of Chronicles, the chronology of the genealogy. You think I practiced that in front of the mirror, eh? And if you're a King James reader, it goes like this. And so-and-so begat so-and-so and begat so-and-so and so-and-so begat so-and-so and begat so-and-so. And it goes on for 300 names. And we get Jabez. And he's the only guy that's mentioned. And it says that he was honorable, more honorable than his brothers. And we say here, I just say, parents, when you're naming your kids, just think about some playground dynamics. Because his name is like a Shakespearean tragedy. I say unto thee, pain, come hither. Because his name means pain. No Jabez is out there, I trust. In truth, we all carry some form of pain with us. Wherever we go, and too often we allow that pain to be our identity. And our hallmark, our trademark. I'm even convinced that some people love to wallow in that pain. Let me explain as I go on. Where we go and we won't move forward because we've made that our identity. And not Jesus Christ. And not who we are in Him. And not because we are the righteousness. Because then, you've heard me say this before, we live in a sin-conscious mindset instead of a righteousness. I am the righteous one. And I know by now we've done it enough times that if I asked you, who has holy hands here, raise them up. Everybody should put up their hands because we have holy hands. Not because I am holy, but because He is holy, because He has made me righteous. I live in that imputed righteousness. It's a whole different sermon, but let's move on. I thought I would have made the point. And we pray, oh Lord, take away my pain. Deal with my pain. Deal with my issue. I am so pitiful because of my pain. Not so Jabez. That's why Jabez's prayer is so powerful. It's not based on himself and his pain, but based on your will be done, Lord. There's Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. 3 times he went to his Father. Father, take this cup from me. And he sweated drops of blood. Can we imagine, can you just sit with me? There's a medical term for it, I've forgotten it now. But there is actually a real medical term for it. When anxiety takes you so badly that beneath the skin your blood vessels burst and you actually will sweat blood. It's a fact. Go and check it up. Google it. He says, bless me, enlarge me, let your hand be with me, keep me from harm, so that I will be free from my pain, your kingdom come, your will be done. This is a kingdom prayer. That's why I loved, if you listen to the word that Louise brought this morning and the word that Brenda and Ken brought in the prayer meeting this morning, we see the golden thread of God weaving through what He is saying to us today, what He is trying to help us to understand today. It's not so much talking about my pain, but oh Lord, bless me so that I can be effective in your kingdom. That's what Jabez will say. And if you don't get it, let me help you understand it. Here we go. It's a kingdom prayer. Number one, he prays for blessing. And I know sometimes some Christians have got this, they've foraged in the wrong places in terms of this blessing, and they've got off track, and just name it and claim it. That's not biblical. Or what? Blab it and grab it. You know, it's mine, and it's for me. And normally, it's when you want a blessing, it normally translated into, Lord, give me more stuff. Bigger house, better car. I like the boat I got. But how about two boats, Lord? I love the cottage I got. Give me another cottage. You know, all that kind of stuff. I'm not talking about health and wealth, but I'm talking about supernatural, heavenly favor upon our lives. That's what I'm talking about. And we understand that we, some of us don't even know that God wants to bless us. Some of us still think God's withholding from me. I've been bad, and so God's withholding from me. He's not a withholder, He's a blesser. It doesn't happen by osmosis though. We got to go for it. We got to ask Him. Psalm 5 verse 12 says, "For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as with a shield." We sang something about that this morning. Louise brought a scripture about that He is our shield. He is our fortress and our tower. Can you imagine having that big shield in front of you? And wherever you go, He covers you with that. And you turn this way and the shield turns that way. Because it's really silly if you're turning this way and you leave the shield over there. No, we take it with us. We hold it close. His favor encompasses us and blesses us. Why? So we can have more stuff? No, so that we can be a blessing to others. So that we can live out knowing our identity in Christ, living in victory, and that we can go beyond these four walls. Because it's not about in here. Wonderful place that God has blessed us with. How can we be a blessing when we are spiritually defunct ourselves? I'm just asking. You can't give away what you don't have yourself. How can you speak into someone's marriage or relationship when yours is in strife? How can you bring encouragement to somebody when you're discouraged? How can we bring the peace of God when we are anxious and in turmoil about everything? How can we be encouraged kingdom first when you are me first? I'm not angry, I'm not cross, I'm not shouting, I'm just excited. And I'm hoping you're seeing this, because when I prepare this stuff, I'm going to go stand and look in the mirror and shave without cutting myself. Can't blink. Lord, am I a blessing to others? Well, my son, God wants every aspect, every facet of that diamond to sparkle and shine, to be a blessing. You don't believe me? Genesis 12 verse 2, "I will bless you, ... so that you will be a blessing, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." You say, oh, but that was for Abraham. Do you not know that we live and we are heirs of the Abrahamic covenant? It was not a covenant that died. It was a covenant that was resurrected, and we part of that Abrahamic covenant, and therefore we are part of that. Some teachers will teach you a top line blessing and a bottom line blessing. The top line is Abraham and how he will be blessed, and you'll see all the stars and the grains on the sand, and how he would be blessing, and those that blessed him would be blessed. And then it goes on later and it says, and I want you to be a blessing, that all the families, are we part of the family on the earth? Yeah, amen, of course we are. Shall be blessed. We are part of that inheritance, part of the Abrahamic covenant, that we should be saying, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? You can't ask Him if you don't communicate with Him. And you know, He wants to give abundantly more to us. Heard the story about the kid, teenager, there's some teenagers here? Yeah, okay. Listen to this, teenagers. So the kid went and he wasn't, you remember the prophetic word, clear clarion call, speak it out bold. What we confess with our mouth will be so. What we pray, God hears our prayers. So the guy goes to his father and says, you know, yeah, Dad. Hi, Dad. How you doing there? Yeah. She says, what do you want, my boy? Oh, well, Dad, you know, I was thinking like, you're like $5. You got $5 for me? Yes, my boy, here you go. Took out his wallet, opened up. He had $200 in his wallet. He said, here's your $5. He said, this was your potential. And sometimes we don't come with the big asks. We come, yeah, God, you know, hi, it's me, it's Mark again. Yeah, no, I was asking stuff this morning. Yeah, what do you want, my son? $5, God? Yeah, okay, here's the $5. Michael's favorite verse. Came to give us life abundantly. Man, we opened the curtain, walked into the throne room. I know it's not about money. Don't all freak out now about money. But it's our inheritance and our rich supernatural blessings He wants to give us. And we're like, why? Because we don't know our identity in Him. When we know our identity in Him, we come to Him, we say, Abba, Father. We come respectfully into His throne room. Ooh, where am I? I don't know where I am. I've just lost my notes. Okay, let's move on. Number two, pray for influence. Jabez prayed, as you bless me, enlarge my border, enlarge my territory, which in Old Testament times meant my place of influence. It wasn't, Lord, I've got half an acre, give me 1 acre. I've got two coats, I need 5. No, it wasn't that. It was, Lord, enlarge my influence. Isn't it your heart's cry? Lord, use me. Oh, yeah, okay. Would you please clean the toilets? No, that's for Joe Bob. He should do that. Lord, use me elsewhere. I want to be used elsewhere. Basically, let me have a sphere of influence is what we're saying when we say, Lord, use me. We want to be free. You want to free yourself from the pain? You want to get rid of that pain that you carry around with you? Find something that has more meaning to life than your pain. Something that is greater than your pain. Well, yesterday I went out with my daughter, had an opportunity to think. I went home after this, I thought, Mark, you're a moany, whiny, mini, ninny. How are you doing that? Oh, my ankle's really sore. I can't walk too much further. I'm just going to sit here while you go over there. I'm being honest. I'm being open with you. She should have said something like, Dad, stop. Pray. Never mind. My pain. My pain. Hello, my pain. I'm supposed to be honest with you when I preach, right? And I just thought about it afterwards. What a wuss. He said, no, I'm going to walk through this pain. I'm not even going to mention it. I'm not even going to declare it. How are you doing? I'm doing great. Let's go for that bacon and eggs that we spoke about. Come on. Let's go and do it. That's when we want to free yourself from the pain. Whatever you find, find something in your life that is bigger and greater than that pain. I know there was just a physical thing, and some of us carry emotional and social and all that kind of stuff. Paul prays for the Ephesian church. He prays a kingdom prayer for them, of greater influence for them. Listen to this. He says, Ephesians 1, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which you have been called. I don't know my purpose. Here's your purpose. I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. Jesus is your purpose. That's it. The only ministry you were given, ministry of reconciliation. That's it. Let's go on. I can't. No, you can. To the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in everybody else except me. No, in the saints. Who's a saint here? Anyone a saint here? Yeah, we're all the saints. Absolutely. So then that applies to us. We say, happy people are people who know their purpose and live in the purpose that they have. Because that's why he says in Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful that he has that for us? That's kingdom prayer. That's kingdom living. That's your will be done, Lord. And when I get that right, then I know that you're going to show me the rest of it and give me my daily bread and protect me and help me and forgive me and all that other stuff. You want to be free from your pain? Start living a kingdom. Enlarge my area of influence, Lord. One of the prophetic words that was spoken over this church is that this church, although you're known in the spiritual, you will have influence in your community. And we go, oh yeah, okay, that's tomorrow. No, it's been a number of years, but we're starting to see the fruition of that thing. And that's why we're excited this year to do the Unity Service, January the 31st, in this venue. The community have asked us to do it here. So we're excited. And so, come along. That was just a pun for that. There we go. I should get on, eh? Number three, pray for his presence. Yeah, I got too carried away. We need to pray for his presence. Like Jabez, Lord bless me and enlarge my borders. Lord bless me. Give me a greater level of influence. And now we pray, Lord, let your hand be upon me. God's hand is his presence. Resist the devil and he will flee for you, James 4:7. Oh, so tired. No. I submit myself under your mighty hand, Lord. The devil will flee from me. That's what the scripture says. But we just go, nah, resist the devil. No, if you try it that way, I can assure you it's not going to work too well. But when we come under the mighty hand of God and we submit ourselves to him, we say, Lord, your will be done. You're the king. I resist you, enemy. You go away. How do I know this? Well, because the Bible tells me so. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. Acts 11, verse 21. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, it says, not by my power, not by my might, not nor by my power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. By his influence, his hand over us, in all we do, in all we say, his presence is paramount. That's why we make such an emphasis about his presence in this body, in this family. Because otherwise, we're just a nice little social club. And our connect groups and just nice fun things to do. No, it's about his presence. It's about his son, Jesus. I don't know if I told you that we were in South Africa recently, and Tyrone, who leads the team, he was meeting with some guys, and they were saying, well, how's it going? And he said, oh, Jesus is amazing. Jesus is wonderful. And we're seeking his will for the next 35. Oh, so you're still seeking God's will for the next 35 years. Yep, we those guys. We want to know your will be done. We don't want to run ahead and run around the corner and run into a bear. Ooh, now what do? We actually want to know, God, which way? Left, right? Ask Ken how scary that can be. Lord, what should I do? Now just walk down this road here. Anyway, you can talk to him afterwards. He'll explain to you, because otherwise I'll give it all away. Moses, Lord, these many people you gave me, they're your people, but I'm not going anywhere unless your presence goes with me. Moses was a smart guy. It's okay, I'm gifted, I'm talented, I can do this, I can go ahead, I'm the leader, I can go. No, you're a foolish man. Lord, show me your ways. Lord, lead me and guide me in your paths. Show me your direction. The presence of God will make a difference in your lives when you call on him every day for every situation you find yourselves in. 2 Corinthians 3:5. Now that we are, not that we are sufficient, some Bibles will say competent, in ourselves to claim anything is coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient or competent to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Our sufficiency or our competency only comes from him. only comes from Him. We are not sufficient in ourselves. Scripture tells us very clearly, not that we are sufficient in ourselves. Paul writing to this amazing church in Corinth, saying, not so fast, guys. Stand back a little bit and just pay attention to this letter I'm writing to you. When we find our sufficiency in His presence, your pain will depart. That issue... Well, Mark, you're the pastor. You don't have any issues. Yeah. Ask the elders if they've got any issues. Sometimes all I need is a tissue for my issue. When we find our sufficiency, our pain will depart as we have found something bigger that I can focus on. The Almighty God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, not this thing here, because that's a problem thing for me, Lord. Oh, sorry. Your will be done, Lord. Paul, how many times? Lord, take this thorn in my flesh away from me. My grace is sufficient for you. Oh, okay. Do you know that no, when we ask for stuff, no is an answer from God? Yeah. We always thought it has to be yes, and a bigger thing, and a bigger stuff, and more this, and more that. No. Then He's just become Father Christmas in heaven for you. Because sometimes when we pray and we ask for stuff, He goes, no. Oh, I found to be joyful in all things. Even if you're heaven bound, the devil, the enemy, Satan, whoever you want to call him, will keep you so distracted that you are of no value to the kingdom. If he can't keep you out of heaven, he wants to keep you ineffective. And we get to make the choice. Isn't that cool? I thought so. Oh, I feel the anointing coming through. Yeah. Woof. It's what's up here. Maybe it's just the heat. I don't know. In closing, we have to pray for protection. Lord, bless me. Lord, enlarge me. Lord, let your mighty hand be upon me. And Lord, protect me. Not so that you can take away my pain, but so that I can be a blessing. So that I can live a fruitful life for the kingdom. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And I know I've mentioned this a few times, but I just hope that you get it. So here's the enemy running around like this roaring like, seeking whom he may devour. And we are panicking because the devil's so powerful. No, he's not. And the enemy tried to, and the devil made me do it, and the devil said this to me, and the devil said that to me. And where's our Lord and Savior and our Master and our King? Seated in comfort and in peace upon His throne. He's not stressing. He says, because I got you. Remember 2,000 years ago I went to the cross? I defeated death. I defeated the enemy. Find your identity in me. Stop stressing and running around. The devil's out to get me. Yes. Will he get you? Not if you stay connected to the source. Not if you stay focused, your will be done. Not if you stay, that's my Heavenly Father, that's my Lord and Savior, that's my Parakletos, the one who comes alongside me to help me and to guide me and to lead me. You know the story about the coals in the fire? And one hops out onto the hearth and it lies there. And when it's separated from the rest of them, what happens to it very quickly? It goes cold and dies. And the enemy is trying to separate you. He's trying to separate families. He's trying to separate marriages. He's trying to separate friendships. He's trying to separate relationships. He's trying to separate you from this body of believers. And we're saying, stay in the fireplace. It's warm and cozy inside. I O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. Pause. Think. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. Oh Lord, you don't understand the circumstances. Pastor, you don't understand what I'm going through, and maybe you're right. But I want you to say, oh Lord, you are a shield that encompasses me. You go around me and you are the lifter of my head. You help me not to be discouraged. You lift me up. You make me to walk on the ramparts of the walls of my life and to declare in a loud clarion call that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. And no, nothing can pluck me out of His hand. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Pray for protection. Communion with God is prayer, and prayer is when we align our hearts with God's heart and His will. In closing, I want to say, commit to the 40 days. Commit to, bless me, enlarge my influence, Lord God. Let Your presence be with me and Your protection be upon me. And I'm praying that right now for myself, because as sure as God made little green apples, by the time I walk out of here and by the time tomorrow comes, I'm going to have the meow. You know, the toothless wonder. Did you really believe that stuff you prayed, Mark? Did you really believe the stuff that you preached? Oh, look at what you're doing now. Look what's happening with you now. Oh, doubt, confusion. Oh, no. How many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him and God. Liar. Now sometimes we got to know, you're father of all lies. Oh, can I call him liar? Can I say that word? Yeah. You're a liar. You're running around trying to seek and destroy somebody who's feeling discouraged and weak and who's not having a great day. Who's feeling depressed and down? And Jesus sits upon His throne in calmness and in comfort because He has overcome. Romans tells us we are more than conquerors. Lord, deliver us from the evil one's plans and schemes and ideas. I encourage you, commit to the 40 days. What is something like we're on day 12 now. Commit to it. Make it a discipline. There you go, I said that word. Father, You are so good to us, Lord. God, we love You so much. Thank You for sending Your Son to die on the cross for us. Thank You for highlighting Your Word to us this morning, Lord God, and we pray. Let's just stand together. Just close your eyes. Don't worry about anyone around you. And just say, Lord Jesus, would You bless me today? Would You enlarge my area of influence? Would You put Your hand of protection over me? Lord God, let me understand that. And Father, thank You for Your protection against my life. Thank You, Lord God, that You are working today in my life and tomorrow and the next day. And Lord God, that You are the lifter of my head. That we came here today, maybe not in so much joy, but we leave in joy, celebrating Your goodness over us, Lord God. You are a mighty God. You're an awesome Father. Father, we come and we submit ourselves under Your hand once again. And we resist the wiles and the plans and the purposes of the enemy to destroy us. And we band together and we stand firm. And we have on that armor that You teach us in Ephesians, Lord God, and we stand firm in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy. We finished a little bit early today. There's a bonus.